When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, paranormal sensitivity, a conversation with Riley Cousins. Sometimes you just know that something is off. Sometimes you know when you're not alone, even when you can't see or hear anything around you. Periodically, those feelings are verified in a way that can only be described as traumatic. This is how it all started for Riley Cousins, a life of moving from house to house and ghost to ghost at every turn. Were spirits attracted to Riley and her family, or does she have a unique ability to see and hear spirits on the other side herself? We ask those questions and more today on The Grave Talks.
My story actually starts with a tragic event that happened in my family, and it just kind of circulated from there. When I was 8 years old, my aunt, she was only 18, and she had committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And before this, I had no experience with the paranormal whatsoever. I didn't even know what it was. I was so young.
Sure.
But when she passed, my mom and my grandma, which was her mom, they started receiving like feathers after she passed. And so when I was about 8 years old, I remember going into my mom's bedroom, and my mom had her other sister, my grandma, and, you know, they were crying, but with tears of joy, explaining how my mom found this white feather and the circumstances of it was very bizarre. We don't have any feather anything in the house. Mm-hmm. And she went on explaining how she thought it was from, you know, her young, my aunt who had passed. And I really didn't understand what the whole feather, you know, thing was about. Besides, you know, my mom just told me, hey, this is from your aunt. You know, I'm not going to say her name just for, you know, personal.
Sure.
But anyway. And so I said, okay, great. And so it started there. Shortly after she had passed. Now, to paint the picture, the house that I grew up in was a duplex. Mm-hmm. Multifamily house. And right next door was my other aunt, who's very close with my mom. And so my aunt lived right next door to us. And so shortly after my aunt had passed, my aunt started explaining stories about how lights in her house would flicker. And to most, that sounds so like, okay, well, that could be anything. That could be electrical. That could be, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But she would explain how she thought it was her sister. And so she would start to ask questions. Hey, if this is you, can you make that flicker again? Mm-hmm. And then the lights would start to flicker and dim in and out. And then my aunt would tell stories about how she would see orbs within her side of the house. And she always just assumed that it was my aunt. Now, from my point of view, being older, I'm a little skeptical of it, but that's her experience. And, you know, I'm not going to discredit that.
Sure.
But it was about a year after she had passed that I started experiencing things of my own. For example, I would hear people talking late at night, and being about nine, I would creep out of my bedroom, and it was late too. And I would go downstairs. Sometimes my parents had people over, you know how grownups are.
Sure.
And when I would creep down where the steps are and the lights were out, everyone was asleep. And so I didn't really understand where the people's voices were coming from. Mm-hmm. It didn't really scare me at the time until other things had progressed later on. So I started hearing people talking, and as it had progressed, it would wake me up almost every single night. And it started to frighten me more and more. And when I tried to explain this to my mom, she meant well, but because she didn't understand, she would, I don't want to say have an attitude with me, but she would just be like, well, I don't know what this is. I don't know what to tell you. And so, and pretty much just left it at that.
Sure.
So several times into me hearing this voices, whatever, mm-hmm. came to a point where I was playing in my room and I had a karaoke machine that I use frequently. And I
understand. And I have one in my living room. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They're a joy. They're a joy. Let me tell you, yes. Especially when you're nine and you're singing Taylor Swift and nonstop. But, so I had just got done singing one of my songs and I turned off the karaoke machine. After I turned it, or I'm sorry, I didn't turn it off. I paused it. After I paused it, I felt really heavy energy in my room. And I can't explain it other than when something frightens you, your heart drops and you know, just that sunken into your stomach type feeling.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I heard on the right side of my ear, this heavy man's breathing just, mm-hmm. and it scared the hell out of me. I booked it. I ran out of my room. I'm going to my mom and I'm telling her what's going on. And, you know, she's not understanding me, but she's like, okay, I'll go with you into your room. So we walk in there and mention how I said the karaoke machine was paused. When we went back in there, it was completely shut off. Mm-hmm. And I start freaking out and I'm like, I swear, you know, it was on. And same thing for my mom, just okay. You know, I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. You're okay. And just shrugged it off.
Yeah.
So after that experience, my mom had a conversation with my grandma telling her, you know, what I'm hearing and whatnot. So my grandma decides to come over for a visit and she's explaining to me how what I'm hearing is residual energy. And I'm sure you've heard that term many
sure.
times before.
Yeah.
Of, you know, it's something in the past and energy doesn't leave. So, and the house was older, but it wasn't like 100+ years old. It was like 1930s. And at one point, the side that my aunt lived on was a candy shop. And on the right side, the owner lived on that side.
Okay.
But as far as like, we had no history of anyone like passing away in the house or anything like that. So my grandma explains to me what residual energy is and that it's nothing to be afraid of and that I just have a special ability, if you will, to be able to hear these things.
Sure.
So
how, I mean, it's yeah. interesting, number one, sure. that your grandma knew about residual energy. So, usually if someone's going to pop up with that answer, they maybe have some experiences themselves.
Exactly. And she... After her daughter had died. She wanted answers. And so she started purchasing every type of psychic book, what happens after we pass. And now my family is very Christian based. So she already had an idea, you know, that she was okay, but she still wanted answers and she just didn't understand. And she had told me a story about a week after my aunt died, that she had a visitation dream where my grandma was in a bed, in her own bed, and my aunt came to her and sat next to the bed, telling her, "It's okay, Mom. I'm okay, Mom." And she went in to hug my grandma, and my grandma told me that she could feel my aunt's bra strap as she was hugging her, and it was so real. Mm-hmm. And such a vivid experience for her. When she woke up, she instantly knew that was a visitation dream, that it wasn't just, you know. And I believe her. I haven't had that experience, but, you know, never say never.
Sure.
So after that visitation dream is when my grandma really started to, you know, research and whatnot, like I explained. So I believe that she got the residual energy lingo to me from what she read and everything. But so after that experience of my grandma explaining that it's residual energy, I was like, okay. And I just left it at that. So fast forward maybe about 6 months or so, the house that we grew up in, even though I didn't feel like there, I couldn't feel any spirits, if you will, you still got that creepy vibe. And especially down in the basement, I don't know what it was about the basement, but I just refused to go down there. You know how basements are.
Sure.
But my aunt had an experience on her side of the house, which later I would have an experience on my side of the house. So she and her boyfriend, they're sound asleep, and she woke up to someone wiggling her big toe. And that's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But she said, you know, trust me, it wasn't like a foot spasm or a Charlie horse or anything like that. She goes, I woke up at 2 a.m. and I could physically see my toe being wiggled back and forth. And how she didn't jump out of bed and leave the house is beyond me.
Yeah.
She thought nothing of it, and she went back to sleep. I'm like, okay, if you say so. And then the night after, her boyfriend woke up with his big toe being wiggled. And he was a skeptic beyond repair. So he didn't think anything of it. So after those experiences, my aunt goes on to tell us that she was at work, but her boyfriend, he was off or whatever, he was home. And apparently this spirit, this whatever it was not a fan of her boyfriend. And if you can imagine, her side of the house was one floor. And when you walk in, there's the living room. You walk into the living room, followed by the kitchen. After the kitchen, there is this long, narrow hallway that leads to a back laundry room. Mm-hmm. And in that back laundry room was storage that had like boxes piled up. So when he was home alone, I really don't know too much of the details, but all she said was that the boxes that were stacked up flew and were scattered all across the narrow hallway, enough to get his attention, have him stand up, check back there to see if anyone broke in.
Yeah.
And when he investigated the entire, you know, side of their house, there was nothing there. Well, he didn't stay around much longer after that. Now, I don't know. Their relationship wasn't great to begin with. So I don't know if that did it for him, but that, you know.
Might have been the catalyst.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So they have these experiences. And let's just pause for a second, because I want to hear then what happened on the other side of the house for you. But when you're being told these things, like your grandma's explaining this residual energy and you're finding these things out, how are you processing it all? Are you like, okay, sure, that's exactly what it is? Or are you skeptical? What's going through your mind?
If I'm being completely honest, it kind of traumatized me a little bit. And I hate to use the word traumatized because, but it made me grow up really fast.
Sure.
And it gave me a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Besides, like, I knew vaguely, when you pass away, you go to heaven or whatever your religious belief is.
Yeah.
But, that's how I was brought up. You mm-hmm. go to heaven or, the other place if you're not good. But to hear that something that you can't see and you can't explain is physically moving stuff in the house, and you can hear them, and sometimes you can even smell them. Mm-hmm. It's weird because I wasn't scared of the stories of what they were telling me, but what frightened me, of course, is when things started happening. I had my own experiences. So I guess to answer your question was I wasn't really scared when they were telling me these things. It was just another piece of information that you learn as a kid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I could never go back to, just kind of like being a kid and playing and stuff, because later on I would just watch ghost shows and anything about the paranormal I would get into. Yeah. And sometimes I wish that I didn't hear those things, because it kind of took away some of my childhood, I guess.
Sure. I mean, it you're exactly right. It takes away a level of innocence when you start to kind of absorb some of that stuff. And it's a difficult thing to square up too, because, I was brought up the same sort of way. It's like there's heaven, there's hell, and that's, kind of it, is how, they described it back in the day. And but then all of a sudden it's like, and there's ghosts. And it's like, well, it's like, how does that fit into this? And like the residual, I get, because that kind of implies that it's not really them, it's just energy. But then you have the sort of situations where there's something wiggling someone's toes and things of that nature, where it seems a little bit more intelligent than just some sort of energy that, is repeating itself over and over. How did your family and you kind of square that up with everybody kind of operating on, at their core, this religious belief of heaven and hell, but then, add this to the mix?
Right. I mean, my mom would tell me that, yes, she's Christian, but she's more spiritual. Mm-hmm. And that means more of like, she's not a skeptic. She believes that, spirits can be trapped, and or maybe they don't want to go, to the light out of fear of, what if I wasn't good or, whatnot. Now, my grandma, if you were to tell her that you've seen a ghost, and actually I had this conversation with her not too long ago, and she was not happy with me. She does not believe in ghosts. She does not believe that spirits can be trapped. But then she's telling me about residual energy and then all of these, weird experiences that a lot of us in the family were having. And she believed that, but she doesn't believe in ghosts being trapped. She just believes, no, you're going to move on to heaven and that's it.
So to her, it's like, it's just energy. It's not really the consciousness of the individual. It's just energy. And that's how she kind of, okay, I get that.
Yeah. But my mom, my aunt, and myself and my brother, everyone else, they believe that it is possible.
Sure.
Which goes into my very first paranormal experience. And so I'll just get into it. So on my side of the house, my mom and my stepdad, they worked shifts past the point of when my brother and I would come home. So they trusted us to be home alone for a couple hours. And then again, my aunt's right next door. So it wasn't like we were really home alone. So my parents were out working and my brother and I wanted to go outside and go, throw the football. And so my brother put his shoes on. He's like, all right, I'll meet you outside. I'm like, all right, that's fine. And I'm getting my shoes ready. I'm sitting on the couch, and across from the couch is the stairwell. My one and only cat, that only pet that we had, was laying right beside me. As I'm putting on my shoes, I hear these very heavy boot footsteps going down the steps slowly, then a little bit faster when it goes halfway. Mm-hmm. And then it starts rushing towards me. So you imagine it's just tap, 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 yeah, running towards me. And as it's getting closer and closer, I swear I could feel like whatever it was within like 3 feet of me. And that's not exaggerating either. As soon as it got to that point, I ran out the door. And my aunt still says this to this day, because she was outside smoking on the porch. When she seen me run out, my face was pale as, no pun intended, as a ghost. Mm-hmm. And I was shaking. I was trembling. She remembers that day, as clear as I'm explaining it to you, that she just, and when I finally got my words out to tell her what I heard, and it's so hard. I can only imagine, me being grown up now and a child coming to me, telling me that they're hearing footsteps and whatnot. Like, how do you comfort that? Mm-hmm. How do you not take away their credit without, alarming them and being like, oh yeah, well that could have happened. And, then you're like, I don't want to go back inside. And I really don't have much recollection of what happened after that. Like how she comforted me. I know that I went over to her side and I didn't go over until my mom got home. And my poor brother, I think I just kind of left him out there. He figured it out though. But yeah, that was my first real experience. And if I'm being completely honest, I mean, from those stories, I know that there was something there, whether that be maybe an older gentleman or, I even have theories of spirits passing through houses. I've heard about that. And it could have just been one hanging out and like the area. But then why would you go and try to scare a child? Which really made me think, I don't think it was demonic or evil by any means, but there are nasty people in the world.
Sure.
Their spirit lingers onto that. So you never know. But that was my first experience.
So after you had that experience, I mean, how were you processing it, days after and such? Were you trying to find logical reasons to explain this? Were you just like, nope, that was a ghostly experience, no question about it?
That was a ghost experience.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And especially after those conversations with my grandma and, just hearing their stories, that was just like physical proof for me. Like, okay, there is more than just what's here.
Sure.
And in the physical world. And, but I kind of went on with my life after that. It was just, okay, accept it. This is what happened to you. Mm-hmm. And there were many prayers said over me. And, I think that was more comforting. And then I just moved on. It was just one of those things. And after that experience, we didn't have any other experiences in that house. It wasn't until we moved, and we moved a lot, that other things, you know, would happen.
That's interesting that it just kind of stopped, because it seems like you had quite a bit going on there. Why do you think that, you know, it kind of hit the brakes?
You know, I really, that's a good question. I have no idea, because you would think if something is trying to scare somebody or try to get someone's attention, like even, you know, with the toe wiggle thing, if they just want to say like, hey, I'm here.
Sure.
Like you said, you would think like more stuff would continue, or I have no idea. The only thing that I could think of is maybe the prayers helped and it subsided it enough to whenever we moved. And then who knows, it could be continuing on to this day, but I haven't been back to the house. I've tried once, but it didn't work out. So, but yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I would like to know if more things are continuing on there. I have no idea.
Yeah, that would certainly be an interesting thing. I mean, have you ever knocked on the door? I mean, you said you tried to go back. What happened there?
I tried to go back when I was on this like real estate website, and my brother, he typed in the house's address just for old time's sake, because when we moved, it was sudden and it was unexpected, and it was, you know, it was disappointing to my brother and I. We lived there for 10 years.
Sure.
And he typed in the address, and he sent me the photos that were on there, and he showed me like, look, it's for rent. If you know, and at the time I was looking to move out of my apartment, and I honestly considered it.
Yeah.
Why not? And the rent was cheap, so why not? But it just communication with the email with the new landlord, and that he just, time didn't work out, our schedules didn't work out, and then eventually someone else moved in. So I hadn't thought about knocking on the door, but I think I'm a little too shy to go, at least there by myself, be like, hey, I used to live here and there's a ghost, but you never know.
I always wonder about that, because that's got to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But if the opportunity ever arises, I mean, I'm game.
Sure. I always kind of am curious too about properties and such. There's a couple like I'll watch on Zillow going, is it up on the market? You know, just like I'm not looking right for a house, but I just want to go see the house. I'm just curious.
Exactly. You know? And that's what the website was on. So
sure. No, I get you. I totally get you. So you end up moving on to other locations, and the activity, these sort of things, it wasn't the end of the story of paranormal experiences for you.
No. If anything, it kind of peaked from there. So after we moved from that house, we ended up moving in with my grandma just temporarily until we could find something else. And school was approaching, this new school year, mm-hmm. and my parents were desperate to find any piece of property so my brother and I could still go to the same school. And that resorted to a trailer, and you know, it was small, it was cramped. And when we moved in, there were kids that lived within the trailer park, and they would tell us stories of, oh, you know, the trailer park is underneath is an Indian burial ground, and all of that, you know, nonsense that teenagers say.
Sure.
While I don't believe that it was laying on an Indian burial ground, I do know that there have been suicides within the trailer park. Mm-hmm. There have been teenagers and young adults who would mess with Ouija boards mm-hmm. in their own home. So I believe that there was definitely something conjured up within the neighborhood, because not only from our little trailer, but other people's trailers, you know, they would have experiences as well. And now I don't know what you believe, but I believe that if there's drug activity or anything that's real negative and heavy, that, you know, certain energies can kind of form and, you know, take form and cause mayhem.
And that's an interesting thing. And let's talk about that for a second, because that's actually something that I was kind of contemplating the other day on a completely different interview that I'm working on setting up. But regarding the Amityville case, it's one of those things where I was thinking, even if something like that, if someone makes up a story or there's no validity to it, you know, like a kid saying there's an Indian burial ground here, but there's no Indian burial ground there. But if enough people believe it and enough people have this collective energy over time, can that in itself end up creating a haunting? You know, can that, you know, almost it generates itself. It's not necessarily the ghost of anyone who died there, but it's created some sort of energy or entity or something that something maybe latches onto that otherwise wasn't there. But because of the collective energy, it people end up creating it, basically, you know, wishing it into existence.
Yep. No doubt in my mind. I agree with you completely. And here's the thing. Words are so powerful, and it's very much, you know, underestimated. But it, like you said, if you believe something enough, and if enough people have a similar thought process as you, and it's being spoken into existence, no doubt in my mind, good or bad,
yeah.
You know, I absolutely believe that something could be conjured up due to all of the energy being formed into one thought process, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing, because I'm going to be talking to someone who was an inmate with Ronnie DeFeo before he died. Oh, wow. It's going to be interesting, because I want to hear, you know, well, because he said he was, you know, friends with him, and, you know, they talked about the case behind bars. So I'm really interested to hear, well, what was said off camera? What was said when it wasn't a formal interview? What was, because that case has gone back and forth 50 different ways of it's true, it's not true, and this or that. And I don't think any of us are ever really going to, you know, it's just an opinion unless you were the one that was there. But it's something where so much collective energy is pushed at that. Did that in itself create something about it? And I bring that up not to say that that the Lutzes in that house and their case did or did not happen, but because a lot of the publicity was all after the fact. But there's just been a lot of weird energy surrounding the case in general over the last 40 years or so. And what makes me wonder about that is, did that energy create something around it? And the reason I have that question is because over the years, I've set up various interviews with people very close to the case, talked about it, but there's always something that goes wrong right before we do the interview. Either somebody gets into an accident, or something is delayed, or something goes out, or there's always a delay in getting it done. It usually gets done, but there's something. The weirdest one was I was about to interview George 15 years ago or so, had it all set up, really excited about it, and then he died. And I don't think it was like because of the interview, but it was just, and the thing is, George had even said that in previous interviews of whenever people try to, you know, set something up, weird things happen. And he had a heart attack and then gone. And it was like the next week was supposed to be the interview. And I was just supposed to interview this gentleman the other night. And we had it all set up, confirmed it in the afternoon. Sit down here in the studio to do it. No response. Like, what is going on? And I'm friends with one of his family members, and that's who introduced us. Reached out to him. Nobody can get a hold of him. So there's like 24 hours. We're like, what is going on? Like, of course something went wrong. And that's where I just wonder is, you know, the collective energy of the negativity of this story, you know, is something else, you know, at bay, even if the events maybe never occurred in terms of the haunting, but maybe there's something else there. And that could be applied to so many cases and so many different things.
Absolutely. And here's the thing too, is when energy, especially if it's negative or, you know, formed from thought process or whatever, it doesn't want to be exposed, you know? So it's only natural that people who are, you know, involved with, you know, with, you know, what you had mentioned with that story, like it's only natural for things to go wrong because out of fear that if it's exposed, that someone could go there and, you know, get rid of it. But is there ever really getting rid of it? You know, that's what I think of, you know, energy doesn't disappear. So you either move it somewhere else or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I believe that it didn't want to be talked about. It didn't want to have its secrets known. So
that's interesting.
It's crazy.
It really is. I've never had one specific topic, and that one's always been one of the most interesting to me, where it's just everything constantly goes wrong with it. You just almost assume there will be a delay. Anyway, tell me more about your experiences as you continued into, you know, life and new living situations and such.
Sure. So shortly, I'm talking like 3 days into me moving into this trailer. Now a little backstory was, I wasn't ready to move. I wanted to stay with my grandma. I was frustrated and upset with my parents for the sudden move and going from a really nice house to, you know, living in a trailer. And no disrespect to anyone who lives in a trailer, you know, they're nice. But for me at 15, it was because I had, you know, a big room and now I'm down to a teeny tiny little box. And so it was a lot.
Sure.
So my parents and my brother had already moved in and I delayed a little bit. So when I finally did move in, the first night it was fine. It was quiet. And, but when I woke up and we were getting ready for school is when I started to hear things. So I was getting ready for school and I heard in my right ear, a woman say my name. And, I mean, it was enough to stop me in my tracks and I froze and it scared me. And when I get scared, regardless if it's a spider, if it's a ghost, if it's whatever, I start to tear up. I can't help it. But, so I went to my mom and I told her, I said, Mom, I heard someone say my name when I was in my room. I don't know, you know, what's going on. And she was like, oh, Riley, that's nonsense. And she thought it was because, you know, I didn't want to live there. So I was making excuses, you know, to not be there. Mm-hmm. So as I'm explaining to her in her room, my brother comes in and he goes, Mom, did you say my name? Did you call my name? And I go, oh my God, and I start crying. And I'm like, see, I told him. My mom's like, no, I didn't say your name. You know, what's going on, these crazy kids? And so my mom is calming me down and I was like, I need socks. I need socks. She's like, all right, I'll go in your room and get your socks. So she's like, go brush your teeth, go get ready. So I was like, okay. So I go into the bathroom and I'm brushing my teeth. It sounds so ridiculous, but as I'm brushing my teeth, I hear that same woman, but she doesn't say anything. She just starts screaming and it's, oh my gosh. I can't say anything more than that. It was just screaming at like bloody murder, anger, hatred, just wailing. So I'm running out and I have toothpaste all in my mouth. I can't make words and I'm just hysterical. So after that experience, my mom still made me go to school and I was like, gladly, I don't want to be in there.
Did anyone else hear the screaming or was it just you that was picking up on that?
It was just me. And it was an inner, like in my head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people may say like, oh, well, you know, you were worked up from hearing your name. So, you know, maybe your thoughts were just making a scream, but I know myself and I would not, you know, I wouldn't work myself up even more. I hate being scared. So, you know, why do that more to myself? But it was an inner screaming.
Yeah.
And so when we got on the bus, my mom, she told me this later, and that she told us that she had a blessing done on the house. What I think though is I think that she just went around and, you know, did prayer and whatnot. After that experience, nothing more happened in our home, but from stories from other kids, and the one kid who messed with the Ouija board, you know, and they were close with my brother more. So this was just word of mouth that the kid who messed with the Ouija board, that he had something come out and he couldn't close, he couldn't put it back in, so to speak. He didn't do the proper way of, you know, saying goodbye and closing it out. And he was into like the darker, like witchcraft stuff anyway. So I'm sure that he welcomed it.
Yeah.
But when he had whatever come out of the Ouija board, his personality changed, and he was real negative, and you could just like tell in his face was sunken. He would tell stories about like how he would wake up in the middle of the night to something wringing his neck. And it's so hard to be able to believe something that you don't experience yourself.
Sure.
And I guess I trust his story, but you never know. But yeah, just things like that. But there, like I said, there was a lot of negative energy within the trailer park anyway, a lot of drug activity and whatnot. So I think that it was just a lot of created negative energy alongside, who knows if, you know, that kid welcomed something real evil.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Riley. In part two, what kind of negative energy followed Riley after moving away from her grandma? What was calling Riley's name in her new home, and what did it want? Does Riley think that spirits are following her, or is she just able to sense them far more than others? And when Riley's stepdad passed of a drug overdose, what supernatural occurrences began to show up around the family? Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.